Chief Justice William Rehnquist died last night at his home in Arlington, Virginia. Rehnquist was 80 years old and had been battling thyroid cancer since last fall. A native of Milwaukee, he served on the Supreme Court for 33 years, first as an associate justice appointed by President Nixon in 1971. He was promoted to Chief Justice by President Reagan in 1986. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg joins us. Good morning, Nina.
Good morning, Leanne.
Nina, the news of Chief Justice Rehnquist's death came following a week of horrific news in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. We're going to have more on that story later this hour. But first, we want to talk to you about the Chief Justice. You reported on the Supreme Court for the entire time he served on the court. Tell us a little bit about the man, please.
Well, it was very interesting to see him migrate from the conservative firebrand who he was as an assistant attorney general in the Nixon administration when he was first nominated to the court, a man who, as a law clerk on the Supreme Court, had thought that clerks had too much influence and that the court was outrageously liberal, to a man who became really an institutionalist of the court, who tried to protect it as what he called it the crown jewel of the American democracy, an independent judiciary. And although he retained his conservative views and managed to prevail in many instances with those conservative views eventually with the appointment of more conservative members of the court, he also, I think, mellowed over the years and in the end wrote some of the decisions reaffirming decisions he had long opposed because he said they had become so much a fabric of the American judicial system.
Elaborate a little on what his legacy will be on the court.
Well, other than Bush versus Gore, the case that decided the 2000 election, he was a man who eventually put together the conservative coalition that eroded a lot of what previous liberal courts had done. And in doing so, his conservative majority struck down more federal laws than any court in memory. In fact, liberals came to level at the Rehnquist Court the same criticism that conservative critics used to level at the liberal Warren Court, the criticism of judicial activism. In a number of areas, he achieved by court decision what conservatives were not able to achieve in Congress. He led a movement to speed the death penalty. He managed to cut back on dramatically on affirmative action, though he lost the battle on college admissions. He chipped away significantly at the rigid wall of separation between church and state. He even managed to make it easier to regulate abortion, though he did not succeed in his ultimate goal of making abortion something that the state should decide for themselves.
Chief Justice Rehnquist's death comes just 2 months after Associate Justice Sandra Day O'Connor resigned from the court. President Bush has nominated Federal Circuit Court Judge John Roberts to O'Connor's seat. His confirmation hearings are due to begin this week. Do you think Rehnquist's death will influence those hearings?
Well, I've been calling around to Democratic and Republican senators, and the answer on that is not clear. Let me say that Justice O'Connor has not resigned yet. She announced her resignation. She continues to be a member of the court and will sit if her vacancy is not filled. So the court is not bereft of her presence yet anyway. It seems to me, Leanne, that the president in a very real sense has endured politically the worst week of his presidency. And the problem for the administration is that they've very much wanted to continue with these hearings. The Democrats had asked to postpone them in the wake of Katrina, feeling that it was unseemly. The Republicans wanted to go ahead with them. Now, with the Chief Justice's funeral scheduled this week, it would seem to me extremely likely that they postpone them at least a few days, and most likely until next week, beginning perhaps next week instead of this week. The chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Arlen Specter, had built in an extra week, essentially, into the process. The majority leader, Senator Frist, had said he planned to take up the nomination the week of the 26th of September, so they have a week to play with, and I would be surprised if they didn't do it.
President Bush now has a second Supreme Court seat to fill. What do you expect will be the governing factors in guiding that nomination?
Again, this is really hard. It's hard to know what he's going to do. He's canceled the meeting with the Chinese, the head of China who was scheduled to come in. He's got Katrina on his plate. He's got an upcoming Supreme Court nomination. the Roberts nomination about to happen. I had long thought, frankly, that he would name his longtime legal advisor, Alberto Gonzalez, to this slot, but I think that they thought that they would have longer for Gonzalez to remain as Attorney General, and they have trouble with their conservative base if they do that. If the president wants to do that, he's got to do it quickly, but that would step on the Roberts hearings. So there are all kinds of things to factor in. And then, of course, there's the question of do they want to name another white male? If they don't name Gonzalez, how about a woman or somebody else? There are lots and lots of political factors that go into this kind of a decision.
NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg. Nina, thank you very much.
Thank you, Leanne.